What's going on, everyone? My name's Omar. Welcome back to the 10th edition of That Mill Podcast, season 2021-22. Hashtag where's Mickey? He's not about today. Joining me, as always, is Mr. Kai Bennett. Hello, pal. You all right?
Yeah, good. Thank you, mate. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Thank you, mate. I mean, a better for Mill winning yesterday in the Cup, albeit against Cambridge United. But obviously, we won 3-1 yesterday. It was obviously a much-needed win, I suppose, mate, to kind of rest the nerves ahead of Saturday.
Yeah, good. Yes, yeah, just one of them ones that gives you a bit of confidence. Good to see Smith get on the score sheet. Murray Wallace, excellent. So, it's a good win. You know, we should win. But, you know, still a few problems that need to be talked about. Set pieces, conceding from set pieces is a frustrating one. But overall, it was a good performance and a much needed win to get the confidence back up.
Can't agree more, mate. So we will talk about in length about yesterday's game in the Cup. And in the second part of the show, we will also talk about our home game against Blackpool before the international break. Let's go to part one now. Okay, welcome to the first part of the show. As mentioned, this will be a part where we talk about the Cambridge game yesterday. As we mentioned, Kai, a 3-1 victory at the Den for Millwall, having gone 1-0 down early doors. Obviously, a few changes for all the sides. But Murray Wallace, of all people, kind of carries us into what I could say to the only person to ever carry us from a left-back position before in a game like that, and scores twice in the space of 3 minutes. And then Smith obviously gets the third goal, like you mentioned early on in the intro. But a 3-1 win, mate, and into the hat for the next round.
Yeah, well, if he keeps playing like that, Malone's got his work cut out at left-back. I mean, you know, talk about Malone getting 8 last year, or 7 or how many it is. Murray's just got 2 in a game. So, and he could have had a hat-trick, couldn't he, at one point? He was very close to a hat-trick. It was good. 2-1-0 down is frustrating, because I feel like we're not really playing until we go 1-0 down. We had a good start. We did start well. Bradshaw had a couple of good opportunities. It was a really good effort, that I thought. I thought that was a really good strike. Then after that, the game sort of just faded away a little bit. It just started to bit flat, wasn't it? And Cambridge started to get a bit more confident, and then they get a free kick, score from it, which is, you know, it was one of them ones. It's a bit of a copy of the Blackburn goal, wasn't it?
Yeah,
with Brereton, it was exactly the same. And, you know, runners are, you know, men aren't picking up their runners, and, you know, that's just the way it is. And it was disappointing to concede. But after that, I thought it was a really good response, and Murray Wallace, fantastic. And then Smith to seal the progression to round three, is really good.
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously, like you said, on a free kick on the right-hand side, almost like a corner, whipped in to the front post, more or less, and he beats the march, I think, on Murray Wallace, if anyone, to be honest with you there. And obviously tucks it away in the bottom left-hand corner past George Long, who was in goal in the Cup, obviously deputising for Bart again in the second round. I think, yeah, it was obviously set pieces. We spoke about it at length, mate. I know we made some changes yesterday. We had the back three of Ballard, Pearce and Cooper yesterday, but It's a bit of a fall in the side. That's something we don't really expect from a Mill team. But obviously, 3 on Saturday, can see from set pieces. Obviously, the week before against Blackburn as well. Hopefully, it's something we can stamp out very quickly before Saturday.
Yeah, definitely. I hope so. I think we are missing Hutch. I know it's only one player, but I just think, you know, potentially with Hutch, there's a little bit more organising going on, and people have got their roles a bit more in the box. And without him, that could be crucial. Piercy, I thought Piercy did overall. I thought he did quite well last night. I was quite impressed with Pierce. Ballard was solid as usual, and Cooper had a decent game too. So, you know, it was just one moment where we got caught out. But as we know, with that one moment can cost us a game in the Championship. If you can't find the back of the net, which sometimes we do struggle with, you know, that one moment where you get caught out can be the difference. So we need to try and stamp that out ahead of Saturday.
Let's rewind T-minus 60 minutes before kickoff. Team news comes out. Obviously, like we spoke about at length on a Monday show, you know, we was kind of disappointed, obviously, and we was debating whether or not he'd go for 5 at the back again. Team news comes out and everyone's trying to piece together what the team's going to be. I mean, no Marlon Romeo on the side. The list of players were obviously Long, Ballard, Pierce, Cooper, I think Murray Wallace, Mitchell, Thompson, Evans, Mahoney, Bradshaw and Smith. No wingers in that side apart from Mahoney, so that's one. Three central midfielders, four central defenders. It's a hard kind of piece together what you would actually go for, wasn't it? And obviously, we was debating it in our chat. I think a lot of people online were thinking it. And in reality, it was what we kind of thought it might be, a back five, and it continued again. I mean, what was your thoughts about that? I mean, we both said maybe it was a chance to experiment yesterday. You know, he stuck to his guns, the manager, and he said, this is it, this is the formation we're going to go for. We said it was Ballard, Pearce and Cooper. Wallace left wing back, Mitchell playing right wing back. Romeo since been discovered, he's got a knock, picked up in training on Monday. And then it was Thompson and Evans in the middle with Bradshaw and Mahoney either side of Smith. What did you make of the team and obviously your thoughts initially when it was announced at 6:45?
I was really confused. Firstly, I didn't see Ballard in the side. As you know, on the WhatsApp group, I didn't see Ballard. So I thought I was playing a four and I thought we're playing Ballard, Murray Wallace and Pierce Cooper and Mitchell. But yeah, it was weird when we were saying maybe Mahoney's a right wing back and we're going to go Billy in the middle. Yeah, it was very strange. But after the game, it makes a bit more sense when the manager comes out and says, you know, Romeo picked up a knock and therefore we put Billy there. It makes sense. Just because to see Romeo not in the side at all as our only right back at the moment was weird. And that probably, and you know, had we known that beforehand, we would have gone off, you know, fair enough. But it's always one of them ones. I always sometimes say that maybe the manager should come out before the match and say why these players aren't in the squad, just to make it a little bit more clear to fans. Because, I think it got everyone a bit confused yesterday. But yeah, it was a good chance to experiment yesterday. And I thought Bradshaw and Smith looked good. Bradshaw was rocking the Grealish style with the short socks, which, you know, came off, did all right first 15-20 minutes as well. So Bob came on, which was interesting. I didn't think he'd come on.
Well, don't you worry. I was planning to mention Bob coming on second half. Don't worry.
but yeah, it was a weird lineup, but it all made pretty much most of it made sense after Raul explained why.
They're dropping like flies, mate. I mean, four injuries going into the game. Since the transpired, there's five. Obviously, Mason Bennett, Sean Hutchinson, Ryan Leonard, Matt Lamara, and now Romeo. What do you think that could be? Like, hard to put it down, obviously, to a particular thing in one thing in particular. But do you reckon maybe the demands, obviously, the games coming back, and obviously the crowds, the intensity of the games? I'm just trying to figure out what's obviously causing these injuries. Obviously, Bennett was unfortunate, injured in pre-season. Leonard obviously came back from injury, is injured again. Same with Hutchinson. He was injured before pre-season, obviously, the end of the last season, injured again. What can you put that down to if you was trying to speculate?
Well, the funny thing is that most of these injuries are happening in training. You know, they're not sort of coming off the pitch, are they, and going off. They're sort of happening in training, which maybe suggests that they're, I don't know, it's a strange one. Maybe they're working them too hard in training, or they're doing, you know, not enough. Maybe they're not warming up enough or something. I don't know. It's really odd. It's one that, you know, maybe look into if it is in training. Maybe it's the things they're doing in there. But we can't afford to lose too many more. Obviously, I've seen a couple other clubs are struggling with injuries as well. I mean, Huddersfield, I think Jordan Rhodes is out for 3 months as well, or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it makes you feel a little bit, well, not better, because you don't wish an injury on anyone, but, you know, it makes you feel a bit like, okay, well, you know, at least it's happening to other clubs as well, because, you know, it's five players out now. It's quite a lot, and, you know, hopefully they're back soon. And I mean, Mason Bennett's supposed to be back after the international break, wasn't he? So,
yep,
he'll be a big boost. Leonard's 1 to 2 weeks. You know, and then how long Romeo is out for, and that could be quick three players back, and that'd be a big boost. So hopefully we need them bodies in.
Definitely. I mean, I think a lot of clubs are in the same, like you said. I think Blackpool have also got a similar sort of injury list kind of total. Looking at the initial look here online, you know, I suppose, like, I think it is. It's just, you know, maybe obviously the games come back, intensity of football, and obviously start of the season as well. I think it's just all kind of a combination of things there. Let's talk about some players that played obviously yesterday. We mentioned Mitchell. Let's go into a bit of detail about that. He played right wing back. I think he was involved on the third goal, wasn't he, down the right hand side. He obviously provided a lot of energy, didn't he, early on as well. He's played there before, didn't he? I think, you remember when it was the season before last, I think towards the end of the season when he first broke through. I remember him playing at Hull away, getting a good game there. I think he played the full 90 then, put a good performance. I didn't mind him at right wing back, but I feel like it's a missed opportunity to see him in the middle, because obviously it's his first kind of start of the season as well. But great to see him out there. And you can see, obviously, he's determined to try and make a go of things and really kind of force his way into the side, I felt like.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, you know, I really like Billy Mitchell, and, you know, sometimes players are put places where they're maybe not so comfortable. But he made the position his own, and I thought he was really, really good yesterday. He had a part in the third goal. Just, you know, sort of just clattered the winger, didn't he? Just sort of held his ground, and the guy just went straight into him. And then Mahoney's carried the length of the pitch and nice little bit of skill and put into the box. Yeah, so overall, I thought he played well. And you know, he nearly assisted Murray Wallace's hat-trick as well. So, yeah. I mean, I thought he got down the wing well. He attacked well. He looked to always get forward, but he defended really well too. So yeah, it was a good performance from Billy Mitchell.
What did you make of Matt Smith's performance? I mean, back in the sides, obviously up front, starting in the cup. I think I'm still in Max McKennan's line here from the post-match interview with Rowett, but he said, I think he won 12 duels in the air compared to Cambridge United's 19 overall as a team. He's just that clear threat, isn't he? He obviously scored his goal as well. Obviously, a bit fortunate it kind of bounced down to him, didn't it, in the box, obviously after Mahoney's hard work. I feel like I'm doing Mahoney a disjustice there, saying Billy Mitchell was involved in it, because I'm seeing it back again, and, you know, it was all Mahoney down the right-hand side. But Smith, just, you know, if you play him, he seems to score goals, and we're not in doubt of that. And he does look a bit more, I think, match fit, if that makes sense. Obviously, he's had a solid preseason, scored a lot of goals. Could there be a valid option to have him start on Saturday with a phobia if the manager decides to mix things up?
I think there could be. Yeah, I thought he played well yesterday. He's always a constant threat, isn't he, Smith? And you know, yesterday I thought our diagonal ball swing worked a little bit better. I thought, you know, I can't say about Cardiff, but against QPR when he came on and Blackburn when he came on, he wasn't able to win as many balls in the air. I think that probably the quality into him wasn't as good. Yesterday, Ballard was pinging ball straight to him, and he was able to flick down, and having that striker partner next to him really helps, because it's almost like a Morrison and Gregory. Morrison would flick down and Gregory would know exactly where to be. So, you know, if we can sort of replicate that with him and Smith, him and Afobe, that could work really well. But yeah, I think he's a contender to start on Saturday if he can put in a performance like that. And Blackpool are the sort of side that might crumble under that sort of pressure with him.
Definitely. I mean, I look at Matt Smith and I think, you know, he's obviously the aerial threat. I think the presence up front as well. Obviously, we're playing to his needs. And at times last season, I felt like we was bringing him on and not really kind of catering to it. I think Mahoney's a better player having Smith up front as well. He's just, you know, he knows he's got that target in the box to aim for if he's going to put a ball into the box. I thought, you know, Mahoney, the third goal, he was great with assist. Obviously, deliveries from set pieces, just as good as always from Mahoney. I don't know if he'd done enough for me, though, to kind of say, you know, he's announced himself on the scene, if that makes sense, Kai. He had a good game. I expect him to have a good game against Cambridge United, though, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think it's hard, though, because I think when you play Smith up top, we don't really sort of pass the ball through the midfield and get the midfielders on the ball and, you know, getting them turning, you know, sort of a long ball up to Smith and then Smith flicks it down to Bradshaw or Mahoney. But we didn't really get a chance to see him on the ball. And when we did, though, he did really well. He got an assist, you know. So I just wonder if Mahoney was to play in that position on Saturday with or without Smith, and we started to play, you know, through the middle and stuff, maybe he thrived a bit more. Because when he got on the ball and he looked to shoot, he looked dangerous. So it's an interesting one. I think Mahoney will be an important player for us this year, but he needs to keep himself fit and are ready for the opportunity that presents itself.
I think availability has got to be key, especially for a player like Mahoney. Let's talk at length about Murray Wallace then. I know we mentioned him a couple of times briefly already, mate, but that first goal was outrageous, wasn't it? I think he picks the ball up on the left-hand side after Smith picks him out. He travels down the left, feints the cross, comes in on his right-hand side from about 15 yards out on the edge of the box. He curls it into the bottom right corner. Where I sit at the Cobbler Lane, and I'm directly behind it in disbelief, thinking, Murray Wallace has just done that. Unreal goal, wasn't it, from a left back / centre half / utility man / anything you want him to be. I mean, we sung his praises after the first couple of games of the season, to be fair, didn't we? He played centre half, left side centre half, now at left wing back in the cup. He scores twice. I mean, that first goal in particular, mate, wow.
Is there anything that man can't do? Like, honestly, that's a valid question. Like, honestly, he's so good. And I just think that, you know, he's such a handy player to have in the side, because he can, I guarantee it, if Rowett said play him in the midfield, he'd give that a go as well. I think he'd be quite handy just in front of the back five or back four. I think he'd do a good job. He's got an engine. He works ever so hard. He's, you know, he keeps going. And that finish was ridiculous. Like, to cut back and to beat I know the Cambridge guy, you know, really, you know, went the other way, but the finish is sublime. To, you know, hit it through a crowded bodies and hit it straight past the keeper from there is a really, really good finish. And then second goal is a poacher's goal, isn't it? So, you know, Smith had a free run and gets to the ball, heads it into crowded bodies, and Murray Wallace is on hand to tuck it away. So, yeah, a really good, forwards instincts there, really, from last night. But, yeah, really impressed with Murray Wallace, as always.
It was just the drop of the shoulder as well for the goal, the first goal, I mean. Like, it's the way he feints the shoot, drops his shoulder, comes in on the right-hand side and buries it. I'm thinking, like, wow, like, it was outrageously good from a player that you don't normally associate with that marauding sort of run down the left-hand side. Maybe there's a case there to kind of, you know, he's been great so far this season. Obviously, we've talked about Cooper's dip in form. I love Cooper for what he's done for the last 3-4 years as a Millwall player. There's no doubt in what his ability is and what he offers to us in defence. But it's good to have that kind of, you know, Malone's obviously quite nailed on for left wing-back position, you could say. And you mentioned Murray Wallace's physicality, where, you know, I think in pre-season he's the fittest player. You know, he runs the fastest. He's also, like, over a long distance, he seems to be always, like, topping the records, so to speak, like Jimmy Abdou used to do. I mean, if you're Cooper or if you're Rowett, you're thinking, you know, if Wallis wants to play in this side and you want to keep Mallory in the side, perhaps it could be an option to take Cooper out of the firing line if necessary, if he's not up to standard.
Yeah, I think that's an option. I mean, I think that'll probably be more of an option when Hutch is back. Give us, you know, because I think obviously, you know, if there's no Cooper, then you probably have to bring someone else in.
Not Alex Pearce, no, or you know, not Pearce on Saturday. No,
he had a good game yesterday, but we won't go that far. I like Pearce because I think that, you know, he does work hard when he plays. He gives it all. Yesterday he put his head where, you know, some others wouldn't yesterday. You know, really, really, really good. Interception, another one with his foot. You know, so he does all the hard work and he works really hard. But if all the central defenders are fit, he doesn't get in my starting 11. But you know, he's a good player to have on the bench and in the team to pick the team up when they need it.
His experience is invaluable. I mean, we'll get on to Alex Mitchell coming on, but even then, just kind of like, you know, barking orders, leading from the back. I remember him bollocking in the second half. Obviously, Cambridge kind of creeped back into it a little bit, didn't they? And there's a couple of smart saves from Long, which we'll mention, but. You know, Pierce's first there to kind of bark at players saying what you're doing to let these players through and making the runs. I think it's, you know, that leadership that is kind of invaluable and maybe something we're missing in games where, you know, Hutchins not available. There's no one really stepping up to organise the line maybe at the back.
Yeah, he's just a leader, isn't he? He's an experienced leader and he's been for he's been at a lot of clubs. He's played a lot of games. He knows what he's doing, Pierce. Think it's a shame that we didn't get him when he was a little bit younger as well, because he might have got a few more years out of him. Don't get me wrong, I still think he could do a job if you put him there. But if you had all your central defenders fit, I don't think you would put him there. You know, I think he's really, really good for Ballard and as Mitchell, as you said. He just gives them, you know, good advice and then so that sort of player next to you can really help you thrive. You know, it's really helpful. And I look at Swansea last year, they had, was it Bennett from Wolves? They brought him permanently.
Yeah, yeah, Ryan
and Bennett, then they had Gurhi and they had one more. I can't remember his name. It was another young defender. And I think Bennett really just helped the two, you know, progress. And I look at Pierce and I think Pierce could really help Ballard and Mitchell progress as well. And I think Ballard and Mitchell have got bright futures. Ballard's been fantastic and them sort of players can really push him along.
I wanted to name check George Long in goal. I thought he wasn't, you know, he wasn't called upon a lot in the first half. He was unfortunate conceder from that set of piece. Second half, though, obviously with 3-1 up, a couple of lapses in concentration, like I've said there, and a couple of him saves in particular in the second half. I'm thinking of the 1-on-1 in the second half where, you know, the striker's through on goal and he parries it to the left. And there's also one where he had to make himself big on the left side this time. I thought he showed his qualities there as a real shot stopper, I thought. And obviously, you know, a timely reminder if Bart was to dip in form that he's more than capable to come into the side, I felt like.
Yeah, it's fantastic because I mean, when he gets on the ball, he looks so comfortable with it, and I just think it's so important for a goalkeeper to have competition like with Bart, you know, and you know, it pushes both of them to keep going, and I thought he saved yesterday. The ones you mentioned were really, really good. I thought both of them they probably nailed on to score, but he kept you know, really, really good save. The first one in particular was fantastic to get a little fingertip on that just to push it around the post. It looked destined for the bottom corner. And the second one, you know, the striker should score again, but Long, you know, does really, really well again. So, yeah, I thought he did well. His distribution's good. And he looks like, you know, from where first half, obviously we had him in the second half, didn't we? Because they turned us around. But no, he looked like he was barking orders as well. And he looked like he was really, you know, good someone that's going to control the back line and make sure they're all in position. So, yeah, he looks a good leader as well.
He's got a good pedigree and he's still only 27 years old for a goalkeeper that's young by the standards of what, you know, the goalkeepers can go into sometimes in their early 40s at times. I think, you know, he broke in on the scene at Sheffield United. I remember him being there in League One when we played against him a few times. I remember him obviously at Hull more recently as well. But, you know, he's played a lot of games. I think it was 101 at Sheffield United in the league, 123 in total, 65 appearances for Hull. You know, he's made 263 appearances already in his career. At 27, obviously for an outfield player, that's probably, you know, a little bit under par. But for a goalkeeper, like I said, you know, he's played for England at youth level as well. There's obviously a bit of pedigree there and a lot of promise that maybe might materialise here at the Den in the future. I'm thinking down the line after Bielkowski. You know, he could be really a real coup, I think, if he can continue, you know, progressing like he is at the moment.
Yeah, it's good also because, you know, Bart, you know, and it's good for Bart because Bart's training with other quality keepers. And to be honest, the only thing I'd say with Bart, Bart's a fantastic keeper and I love him. And he's probably one of the best keepers we've had at the Den, you know, in recent times, if not the best. But well, one thing Bart could improve on is his distribution, you know, getting the ball and playing it around with the back. And that's one thing that George Long could help Bart with, you know. And if Bart, you know, improved at that, well, you know, if he was a bit younger, he probably wouldn't be out with us, to be honest. but yeah, I think he's done really, really well. And George Long looks really interesting one for the future.
I think it's with Bart in particular, it reminds me a lot of when we had David Ford in goal. It's not necessarily an issue of, you know, their shot stopping capabilities, because they'll pick out shots from 30 yards, get to the top corner and make an outstanding save. You're thinking, that's outrageous, what a save. And one-on-ones as well is quite decent. It's more the agility to get to the bottom left corner, bottom right corner. These are out-and-out shot stoppers. Whereas I look at Long and I think he's got that bit of all-roundness to him in a goal, as a goalkeeper. And, you know, he's obviously quite a bit more agile, I feel like, as well. But with Bielkowski and Ford, they'll just get to saves in particular. You think, how the fuck have they done that, if you know what I mean? It's more like outrageousness from them. And I think, you know, Bielkowski is undoubtedly our number one still. Some people think he's had a rocky start to the season. I'm not sure personally. I think it's just the defence as a whole has been quite culpable for our mistakes defensively. But hopefully, you know, if in case that form does dip, I'm definitely certain that Long could be a good backup in the future for us and someone that could come in and rival him there. Kai, we're into the next round of the Cup. Who would you want in the next round? We said it last time. We said West Ham last time and they weren't even in the second round draw, mate. So everyone's in it now. Obviously, you know, all the European teams, so to speak, are now in the draw. We're going to say it again, I guess, West Ham away, right?
Yeah, I'd go with that, yeah. Or, you know, West Ham away. If not West Ham, if we can't get West Ham, because that seems like a one that we never, ever get. I'd love an Arsenal away or Manchester City away. Something big would be nice, you know. But we always seem to be drawing at the Den. So, you know, if we do get a home tie at the Den against one of these big sides, that'd be fantastic. You know, but at the same time, we get an away tie against a big club as well. That's fine by me as well. That's, you know, it's always a good day out. So, either way.
I'd quite enjoy a midweek kind of trip somewhere like Arsenal or something. That'd be quite nice. Or Chelsea or, you know, any of the above, really. It'd be quite a few good ones in there for us. Like we mentioned that ex-Mitchell briefly, mate. He's signed a new contract. It's been announced today. And obviously, yesterday made his senior debut for us. Obviously, we saw him in pre-season score a goal against Arsenal and he was buzzing for that. And if you've seen the interview today on the club's website, he's just buzzing today. You just look at him and you think, he's just genuinely so ecstatic and just can't believe it. Kind of pinches himself, really. He's in that position where Millwall fan playing for Millwall, and you know, he seems to have gone straight to strength, hasn't he, mate? And I thought he came on last 15 yesterday and showed what he's about, really. I thought he was quite decent.
Yeah, I think that loan last year to Bromley like really, really, really helped him. I thought he was brilliant. I went to watch Bromley last year on the day that they made the playoffs, and I thought he was outstanding. You know, his ability in the air. The National League is, you know, obviously it's not a good quality wise, but it gives them, you know, it teaches them to be strong and tough in a challenge. And I think Mitchell defines that. He's fantastic at that. And also when he got the ball yesterday, he got on the ball, nicked it and started running with it. And I thought, oh, go on then, have a shot. But, you know, that's when Murray Wallace scores too. You know, that's when the defence is scoring like that. You think, go on, have a go as well. So, it's great to see Alex Mitchell play yesterday. I thought it was really good when he came on. Battled through I think he got hit in the head, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Battled through that, didn't come off for that. So yeah, right, it looks a really, really brave defender and a really exciting one for the future, depending on whether we loan him out now or keep him. But you know, maybe, you know, if Rowett, it's difficult because if Rowett doesn't see him being able to get into the first team because of obviously we've got a lot of centre backs this year, then it's important to keep his development going. So send him out on loan because you can see how well Tyler Bury's done so far. At Hartlepool, and Hayden Muller's doing well at St Johnson as well. So, you know, don't want to halt his development by keeping him there and keeping him on the bench. So, yeah, whichever way they do it, hopefully it'll work out best for him. But yeah, he's been brilliant so far.
Couldn't agree more, mate. And like I said, it's refreshing. Obviously, you know, Ben Thompson obviously played in the middle yesterday. Billy Mitchell, Alex Mitchell, still 19 years of age. His physicality is unreal. He's an absolute beast at centre-half. And I think that's probably why he is in the team already. A lot of times, whilst teams might not admit it, a lot of times it's the physicality they worry about of youngsters. I'm thinking of George Alexander, for example, didn't really develop. And if there's a player in there, if he fills out one day, and it's the same with a lot of young players that kind of on the cusp of things at a Football League level. And I think Mitchell is obviously kind of further along the spectrum with that. And I think, you know, he's taking his chance at the moment. And I agree with you. As much as I want him to get a chance here, I think it's sensible to loan him out. Maybe a League Two club. I don't know if there's anyone that's in. I think there's been rumoured as Football League clubs in for him. But I wouldn't be disappointed if he went back to Bromley. It's still only 19. You know, Bromley seem to be obviously looking to try and push on and try to get to the League Two, losing the playoffs last year. So it could be a match made in heaven for him to go back there and, you know, play under the likes of Alan Dunn, mate, and learn the Millwall way, so to speak.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? I think it's important whichever wherever he goes, the management needs to be there and the way that they want to play needs to be there. Bromley will be very suitable for him, close to Millwall, close, able to keep, regular contact with Millwall. And Danny would be fantastic with him, and he was fantastic with him last year. So I do think that Bromley might be a good idea, but if a Football League club comes in for him, who's obviously higher up, then that's always a good option to see really where he is.
Definitely, mate. And yeah, I mean, positives all around, I think, from yesterday on the whole. I think also I want to credit the team because, whilst there's a small crowd there yesterday as well, as there normally is in the cup game at this Sky, we went 1-0 down, backs against the walls in a sense. We kind of, didn't really expect that to happen, but we still come back and, do the business and win it 3-1. I think it shows a lot that, they didn't really shirk away the players, and albeit we made some changes as well, but we still got the job done and got into the next round. And I think something needs to be said about that and a bit of praise to the team.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's not always easy, is it, to get through to them sort of games, but we did it. And yeah, so it was a banana, it was a potential banana skin, but we overcame it, which will give the players confidence.
Much said, mate. I agree with you there. I think that's the end of part one. I think after this part, we'll come back in with our preview of Saturday's six-pointer, as I'm calling it, against Blackpool. Back shortly. And welcome to the second part of the show. This is the part where we'll be previewing Saturday's game upcoming against Blackpool, who lost 3-2 yesterday, Kai, to Sunderland in the EFL Cup. Did you see who got 3 goals for Sunderland?
Oh, how you doing, O'Brien? Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah.
Love it. 91st minute, wasn't it? He's like third goal. Love to see him doing well. Always tried his best for Millwall. Was a great servant to the club, and it was just disappointing that it couldn't work out the way him and maybe the club would have liked it to work out over next couple of years. Would have loved him to stay and scored more goals. But it looks like he's doing really well at Sunderland, which is good to see.
Not to talk much about a player that's now left the club, but I do feel like he could have maybe offered a bit to the system we've got at the moment. That the kind of left side ish of the three behind, one behind the striker, so to speak, what Bradshaw played yesterday. I think he could have, maybe been that sort of player to play that position and definitely offer an option to stop the likes of Boadfarton coming on the pitch, who we didn't mention in the first part, Kai. Obviously, he featured yesterday. Thank God Mickey's not here, because I'm sure Mickey will remind me of the couple bets that I've made with him this season about Boadfarton. Both are still not going to happen, but, it's a shame, really. Obviously, Brian had to leave, but he wanted to obviously go try and be a main man somewhere else. And I think he struggled first in that Sutherland. But yeah, well, I mean, but Foster coming on yesterday was a bit of a shock, wasn't it?
Yeah, do you know what? It was weird because when I saw him warming up, it took him ages to actually come on, firstly, which was weird. But then when he actually did come on, for his first touch was quite nice, actually. It was a nice little flick to Savile, wasn't it? And I thought, oh, hello. He's putting himself in the shop window. He wants to move to Cambridge. But it's, well, I mean, they could have taken him on the way home, but no, it's difficult because you never want to be, negative towards your own players, and I find that I struggle to do that because I think when they're in Millwall shirt, we should always try and support them. But with Bob Varson, he's just never really cut it at Millwall, was he? And I think he's one that probably definitely needs to move on now. For himself and for us, because it's no point him being here and wasting his, at this time he's literally sitting on the bench and not even making the bench most of the time. It's a waste of any career his career, and he'd be better off going to another club and starting for them and dropping down a couple of leagues and trying to find his I guess his level. If he does that, then I'm certain he'll be all right somewhere, just not in the Championship, unfortunately for him.
Yeah, not for Millwall. I agree with you there, mate. I think it's one of those weird ones about Farson, like the fact that he's not gone yet. You have to question whether it's the player not pushing the move and not in a hurry to go because he's still happy to collect his wage, or if it's just no one's interested in him. I'm not quite sure which one it is with that one, but we'll move on from Boadfarson. And if he's on the bench on Saturday, I'll be surprised. But, I've seen crazier things happen at Millwall. Let's talk about Saturday's game. Like I said, they lost yesterday in the Cup as well, Blackpool. They've got 2 points, same as us in the league at the moment, Kai. And that's why I've coined it the six-pointer. A good comeback on Saturday against Bournemouth to draw 2-2 away from home after being 2-0 down. Obviously, freshly promoted from League One, and they've got the ex-Liverpool reserves manager in charge there that took charge of their one game once against Villa in the Cup. It's not going to be easy, is it, mate? And it's obviously, they're going to be a side that, will be just as much as us, eager to get the first win of the season.
Yeah, definitely. They're just up from League One. They'll be fighting for the points. And it'll be a tough game. It'll be a hard game, but it's one that, you know, if we play well and we our team's right and we attack Blackpool, we put them under pressure, it's one that we really should win. And it'll be great to finish, you know, start the international break with two wins, albeit one in the cup. But it'd be great to get the first win of the season, and that way we can get that out of the way. And then that sort of, you know, if we don't win on Saturday, then that sort of loiters and sticks around for a little bit too long, and then it starts to become a bit of poor pressure. You know, then they're thinking about it too much. So it'd be nice to get that out of the way, and it'd be great to get the first win of the season.
They've got a couple of experienced players there as well. You know, players that have been around the Championship for a while. I'm thinking of Grant Ward, James Husband in here. Jerry Yates is also another player that's quite, you know, hotly anticipated. And Richard Keogh is on their books as well, the hotly remembered Derby County central defender. Never had a good game against us personally, I felt like. But, you know, if he plays, then I'm sure he will suddenly on Saturday. But, I mean, let's talk about us and what to expect from Saturday's game, mate. I mean, yesterday, like we said, not many fans were there. Probably a 3,000 gate. I've not actually seen the official numbers released by the club. I'm sure they have been somewhere. It's going to be, I think, it was quite fortunate yesterday we went 1-0 down. There was not many people there. I felt the atmosphere still turned a little bit just about. And like I said, I credited the players coming back. But I think Saturday's game is going to be a little different anticipation there. It's going to be, you know, more fans there. The regulars are going to turn up, probably 9,000-10,000 there. And the real expectancy from all fans to get that first win of the season, I feel like.
Yeah, definitely. I think we need the first win of the season. And, you know, the players need to get the first win of the season. They need to work hard. They need to show, you know, some grit and determination and try and get that first three of the points of the season. And if that, you know, I think the one real positive this year has been Ben Ikhofobi and how he started life at the Den again. He's been brilliant in my eyes. You know, he scored two goals, which is great to see. And he'll be a key man on Saturday. It'd be great if we can get the first win. It will take that little bit of pressure off the players, and it will maybe even bring a little bit more optimism back to us as fans, because we obviously who travel up down the country and go and watch our side, we deserve the 3 points, and all the fans will, you know, the fans that will be there on Saturday and the fans that will be watching at home will be hoping we can get the 3 points, and let's hope we can.
Yeah, I agree with you, mate. And it's hard to predict what sort of team he's going to go for. I think we're all probably expecting the back five again, but, you know, Romeo being injured, obviously midfield options, it's hard to see who's going to pick from. I mean, no one's really stood out and took the games by the scruff of the neck. Obviously, Keith Nobel's coming in and impressed a lot of fans, obviously, with the crowds being there. But I feel like a game against Blackpool, it might not be a game for Keith. Obviously, you know, we want to get the fans on side, but I feel like we're going to have more time with the ball on Saturday than we might have without it. And we need a bit of quality, I'm thinking. I mean, what sort of team are you kind of thinking you might choose on Saturday? I mean, give me what you think could be the starting lineup, mate.
Well, I'd love to see a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-4-2 or something
like
that.
But
no, that's what I was about to say. I think he probably will stick with his 5-3-2. If he does go with a 5-3-2, I'd love to see Smith and Ikhofobi up top with Geddin behind, and then drop Saville back into the midfield with one of whoever plays Evans. Obviously, Leonard's out, you know, Thompson. Anyone in the midfielders, I'd like, or Keith Nobel. I'd love to see that. I think. You know, play Smith up there, get players running off him, Ben Ikhofobi, Jeb Wallace, Saville pushing up. You know, and that would be really dangerous if we can do it. You know, and then get Malone and whoever plays it right back, getting them balls into the box for him. And that could be dangerous. And I think Blackpool will struggle to contain him. But yeah, I think Smith and Ikhofobi could be really interesting on Saturday if they play.
I think it's an opportunity just to obviously put the wrongs right, and obviously a lot of pressure on the side as well, I feel like. But I'm happy to, you know, obviously I'm always positive like you are, Kai, but, you know, I feel like it was a tough kind of show to do on Sunday morning after Cardiff. And I think there's a lot of pressure on the side, like I said there. And I think it's just going to be interesting to see what we get, really. And you never really know sometimes on the Mill side. And you never know with the Mill fans either. We're all our worst critics sometimes and our worst enemies in that sense. But I think, you know, the players, obviously, after yesterday's game, like I said, albeit there was much changes there, they're obviously eager to make an impression and put it right. We didn't really mention it in the first part, but what did you make of Rowett kind of sticking to his guns? We said it was a crossroad moment. You know, we both said on Sunday we wanted a back four, change things up. But, you know, he stuck to his guns. Is that him, you know, kind of backing himself, do you think? Or what did you make of that, you know, as a result now?
I think it's him sort of backing his formation and thinking that that's the way we're going to play and being stubborn, I guess. But you could look at being stubborn in a good way as well, because, you know, if he really believes in that formation, then, you know, he for himself, and he has to stick to it. For us fans, we probably wanted a four at the back last night, didn't we? But overall, I thought they did quite well actually last night, and I'm happy to be proved wrong if we do really well with the back five on Saturday as well.
Definitely. I mean, there wasn't much reaction online yesterday either, to be honest. I think it was one of those games where a lot of people just thought, stay away. Half the stadium's closed. After Saturday's game against Cardiff, a lot of people just thought, maybe go away and come back, I think. But we're in the hat. That's the most important thing. And I think that's it. Saturday's game is now the crunch game, mate. What happens if we lose?
That's such a difficult question, isn't it? I don't know. It's a really difficult one. I think the bigger picture here is, can we bring another player in, another attacker in, strengthen our attacking line. It's difficult though, because the thing for me at the moment, which is not very unlike Millwall, is the defence seems to be our weak point at the moment. We're actually scoring goals. We're not scoring more than one in a league match, but. If our defense keeps solid the whole game through, like it was last year, and we score a goal, then really there's games that we should be winning 1-0. Obviously, we don't want to be winning 1-0 all the time. We want to be winning twos. We want to be getting more than one goal. But if we need to stamp that set piece, problem out where we've conceded a few too many goals from that this season. We can stamp that out, and we can get our defense back to where it was last year with Hutch coming back. Whenever he's come back, we get that stronger, and we can get our forward line a little bit more clinical than it is right now. Then yeah, I think we can very easily turn this around. But it's a hard question about what happens after Saturday if we lose. It's a tough one.
I'm gonna sit
on the fence.
I'll give you a nice one. What happens if we win? How are you gonna feel? Let's see, we go. That's it. It's we're going to get promoted again, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, no, of course. I mean, when you win, you have to celebrate the 3 points every time, because Championship is a tough league, and you never know when the next 3 points might come around. So you have to celebrate every 3 points and be happy with every 3 points. I think we've just got to work hard. As long as Millwall put in a performance on Saturday, I know it's a results business and we need to win the game, but as long as we put in a performance, we work hard, and we show. We show passion and grit and determination, that will get the fans going as it is, And then the result, if we can get the result on top of that, that'll be even better. But, just put in a performance first and foremost, and I think we'll win the game.
Kai, I think that's like the best thing you've said in the show today, mate. That's spot on. And you're 100% right to the tee there. And I think anyone listening, you've got to agree with that in a sense as well. Being Millwall, we just want to see a performance. That's it. We want to see heart, grit, determination, playing on the front foot. Not even necessarily attacking football, but just looking to make an impact on the game in a way that's positive and not necessarily the negative or defensive. And I think that's ultimately what a lot of people have been a bit, disappointed with in the formation and obviously how we've been playing. But I do think Saturday could be a turning point. We'll have to wait and see, won't we, mate? I mean, you're going to give me a score prediction before you go? I'm going to prod you for one.
2-0.
To Blackpool?
No, absolutely not. 2-0 Millwall. I'm going to go Benicophobe. And Matt Smith with the goals.
Top draw. I'll go along with that. 2-0. I'll take that. I'll go my realist score twice again. Kai, thanks for being on today, mate. And obviously, no Mickey today, but I do appreciate you getting us out of pickle as always.
No worries, mate. Hopefully, we can get 3 points on Saturday and talk about a good performance on Sunday, hopefully.
Absolutely. And hopefully have a hangover to go with it as well, because we're celebrating a nice Millwall win in 3 points first time this season. If you're new around here, guys, be sure to leave a like, subscribe if you're new. If you're listening on audio, we're obviously broadcasting on YouTube. If you're watching on YouTube, we broadcast in audio. Check us out. Check out our socials at That Millwall Pod. Be sure to check our Twitter, like I said there, at That Millwall Pod as well. And obviously check our website out, www.thatmillpodcast.co.uk. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Any reviews, always appreciated as well. And like Kai said, we'll be back on Sunday for our next show. Thank you very much.